Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. Or wherever it is that you get podcasts from, we appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie. It would be a little odd if Brupolo was an old Americus.
It'd be so weird. It would be so weird.
You like that, buddy? Huh?
It'd be so weird.
This is the proof that people will take anything that is pure and fun and just crap on it. Well, here's the thing, Chili Nelson.
If that is your real name,
which we know it isn't. Not only are we going to keep doing this, we're going to do it even harder from now on.
I will consider us having a conversation about not doing anymore if Chili Nelson uses his real name from here on out with his actual picture.
I got no worry about that. No worries.
I don't understand people that complain about things that are completely avoidable.
Never mind.
If you don't want to listen to the ads, and I totally get it.
Fast forward.
There's a button on your phone that fast forwards the ads.
Never mind that.
Nobody's making you listen to
it. Never mind that. Like, this is like the one thing that like, somebody actually said that. It's like, that's the only thing in the ads I don't fast forward. It's like, because people want to see if maybe the town where they grew up in is mentioned or
somebody
they know. It's fun.
So look, I understand that people just, like, they get really annoyed with ads, but it's how we make a living.
I make a point. I try to make a really good point to get through the ads quickly, all right?
Yeah.
Not today, I get it, but because we had to do this. The class has to suffer because there's one bad apple.
I just don't understand that there's just constant complaining from people about things that are so minuscule. And this is actually something that people enjoy.
There's a reason I quote tweeted that guy is I knew people liked this. So I was like, I'm going to let him have it. And there we go.
If there was like a bevy of people, like a ton of people that said, we just don't like this, which happens on podcasts all the time. Yeah. And people just continue to do things like that. If that was a thing, then we would probably stop it.
If people were saying, if you don't stop doing this, I will stop going to Strange Brew. If Strange Brew was like, hey, maybe you should stop doing that, I'd stop doing it. But everybody seems to like it except for this one guy. Well, you can just shut up. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs. Anybody got a problem with Pip Printing and Signs? Anybody? Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. It just means this. Whatever the message of your business is, Pip Printing and Signs can help you relay that message to potential customers, future customers, current customers. Whatever keeps people coming in the door, Pip Printing and Signs can get that message out there. They've been doing it for 30-plus years. Give their website a look first and foremost, pipridgeland.com. Find out exactly what it is I'm talking about and see the variety that they have to offer in terms of signage and graphics for inside your business or for things that they can send to your customers and set up for you as far as mailing and all that. Then call Cam Baker. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning and go from there. 601-499-5216. When you need printing, call Pip Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. I know you're looking for it. Everybody's looking for it. They've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area. Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always at Restaurant Tyler. This weekend, if you're thinking about heading up for brunch after Sunday, Restaurant Tyler is the place to go. If you like the breakfast side of brunch, if you like the lunch side of brunch, or if you want to mix the two, they got you covered at Restaurant Tyler with some of your delicious favorites. Everything there is great. Check it out this weekend. If you want to grab a Sunday brunch in town, the place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you not only where they're located, but show you how they're going to help you manage your money, invest, and plan for your future. Nowadays, if you've got a question about your money, you want to get somebody on the phone quickly. You don't want to have to deal with the headaches that come with those big corporate banks, putting you on hold, talking to people who aren't connected to the bank, and more importantly, aren't connected to you and your community. Priority One Bank can offer you a different way of banking, a better way of banking. It's at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. All right. I've got that out. I've been waiting, planning that rant since I read that tweet. It's like, well,
blood pressure was up.
I mean, it's like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, well, everybody gets to get yelled at tomorrow. It's like you go to school and one kid's acting up and the teacher's got to yell at the whole class. It's just got to be that way sometimes.
Yeah, I don't understand some of the complaints out there, man.
Some people just want to be. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say the word. If you've got kids in the car, maybe just hit the fast forward button right this second. Some people just want to be assholes. End of story.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, if she listened, I told her, fast forward.
You did. You did give a PSA.
I gave a PSA. So. It's Friday. It's the 3 P's. That's brought to you by the good folks over at Sanders Rentals. Guys, if you're coming into Starkville any weekend, you need to check out Sanders Rentals. They've got an incredible selection of these great cottages, not too far off of campus. You're paying so much for hotels here in Starkville. Sanders Rentals offers you a full cottage rental with a lot more amenities, a lot more space, and a lot less price. That is something you just cannot beat. If you're going to be staying in Starkville anytime soon, give my friend Will Sanders a call. Tell him you heard about it here on Thunder and Lightning, and he will get you taken care of. Call Will at 662-769-1412 and get your cottage rented for any game day weekend or any MSU weekend. Call Sanders Rentals. You're going to find out the difference between staying in one of those cramped hotels at, $800 a night and having a full cottage, two bedrooms, couple of TVs, all the amenities. Check them out. Sanders Rentals, 662-769-1412. All right. Now we can no more ads for a little while, guys. Again, as always, I'd like to point out I am willing to do ad-free podcasts, but you will have to pay. So if somebody is willing to take on the responsibility of I will let you know what the total is, and we'll go from there. But
yeah, that's how it's got to be.
It's just got to be that way. Speaking of things that have to be that way, Mississippi State will take on the Georgia Bulldogs this week. We talked about it a little bit yesterday with this Georgia team. They just haven't been that impressive this year for a team that started off preseason number one and was I wouldn't say an overwhelming favorite, but was the betting favorite to win the national championship this year. And they've been really good, but they haven't been great at any point this season. Maybe the first game against Clemson, maybe the second half against Alabama. It's interesting, they've only given up 72 points on the year. Obviously, 41 of those are in one game. So in the other games they've played, they're only giving up about an average of, 7 points per game. Offensively, they're very balanced, averaging 131 yards on the ground, which is not great for Georgia. You would expect it maybe to be a little bit more, but they've been a little pass heavier this year with Carson Beck, and he's been really good, averaging almost 300 yards passing per game, 12 touchdowns, only three picks. They've been good offensively this year, but not great. They've been really good defensively this year, but not great. They're a far better team than Mississippi State is, Robbie. But this is not the Georgia team I thought we were going to see. I thought we would see a little bit more dominance from them. And I thought they'd be undefeated at this point as well.
Well, anytime you bring back a quarterback like Carson Beck that's kind of been there and done that, and he's played a lot of football, and they're recruiting the way they are, you feel good about that team coming into the season. Like, Georgia has one of, if not the most talented rosters in the entire country, and they have an experienced quarterback back, they should be better than this. With that said, they still have all the makings of being a national championship team, and they definitely are still in the fight for the playoffs. There's some games that are going to be really difficult for them coming down the road. You got Texas, Ole Miss, and Tennessee still on the schedule.
Yeesh.
And you can really only afford, I think, to lose one more game. I don't think this is a Georgia team that is getting in with three losses. I don't know if
Georgia, I don't know if anybody
in the SEC is with three.
Georgia is the only team that could get in with three losses. If Georgia,
because it would be Bama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss probably. Or Texas. Bama, Texas, and then one of the other.
Either Tennessee or Ole Miss. If they that 9-3 team, look, they might be the 12 seed, but they would probably get in.
Yeah, this is a tough schedule. This is, to me, easily the toughest schedule of the like top four teams in the SEC.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They have the third hardest schedule in the SEC, in my opinion. The only reason hardest is because they don't have to play Georgia.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Because they went to Tuscaloosa, and they're going to Oxford and Austin.
Austin, and they do have to – they host Tennessee. And don't forget they played Clemson week one in a neutral site game.
They did.
You know, that after that game, we were like, oh, Clemson, they're not going to be very good this year. Clemson's turned it on. They're playing good football right now. So, yeah, this is a really good Georgia team. And here's the thing. They need to start playing better. They got to go to Texas next week. That's why I'm nervous that Mississippi State is going to turn into like, you know, you were hopeful maybe they would overlook State on the way to Texas. That Alabama loss killed that. Now you could be getting a Georgia team that wants to play its best football, hasn't really played it all year, and could look at this as an opportunity to really sharpen things up. So for State, it's got to be that same game plan that they ran against Texas. It's got to be the same game plan that Kentucky ran successfully against Georgia, and that is you got to find a way to grind out first downs and keep the ball away from this Georgia offense. Keep it as low scoring as you possibly can. The difference, of course, is that Kentucky, much better defensively, much better up front than this Mississippi State team. That's where I'm obviously concerned and then going to be for the rest of the year, is that I just don't think State has the defensive capabilities to slow anybody down, let alone this Georgia offense.
And I think, you know, on the offensive side of things for State, I think this defensive unit is different than what Texas does. I think Texas is still really good in what they do, but Texas's strengths, for me, just like watching them, probably came off the edge. And this Georgia team is going to be a little more meaty up front, and they're going to be able to stop the run at a much better pace, I think, than what Texas was able to do. And that's part of what made Mississippi State's game plan effective, is they were able to run it between the tackles. Are they going to be able to do that against Georgia? That's kind of the question here, because for Mississippi State's game plan to be effective in this game against Georgia, they're going to have to be able to run it, and they're going to have to be able to run it in between the tackles. You're certainly probably not going to have the speed to get to the edge and make some plays running the football. So that's kind of my biggest concern for Mississippi State. This is a Georgia team that gives up, you know, less than 4 yards a rush, 128 yards a game on the ground. So they, you know, teams have not been ultra successful against them as far as running the football. And, you know, State's going to have to be able to move some folks around and move the chains and hold on to the football as long as they can. I just don't know if that's going to be as effective this week as it was against Texas.
Yeah. You look at State's rushing stats outside of sack yardage. I mean, Daniels ran the ball pretty well. 5 yards a carry, 15 carries for 78 yards. Parson averaged 5 yards a carry. You did have the one carry with Craver. Booth, I mean, 3.3 yards per carry, not great, but, you know, you'll take it. Van Buren, obviously, you know, was sacked, what, six times in that game. So, I mean, that makes a difference for him. But he at least can give you something out of the running game. I'll be interested to see if they continue to try to fit Chris Parson into the game plan, or do they just go full bore with Michael Van Buren. Parson doesn't really give you anything, and especially they're doing the thing with Parson that State did a year ago with Mike Wright, which is when he comes in, he's running the football. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So they got to be more creative with the way if they want to play Parson, they got to be more creative with that, give him an opportunity to throw, give him an opportunity to do something else.
I just don't see a reason to do that.
I don't either, because they're the same guy.
They're the same guy, except for I think Van Buren probably runs this offense better.
Right.
And but I don't think
skill set.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that Parson does that's greater than what Van Buren does. I think Van Buren can run the football just as well as he can. I mean, if you're just wanting to take hits off of Van Buren, okay,
I would go Wildcat at that point. Kevin Coleman.
Well, I just wouldn't call quarterback runs.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just going to hand the ball off. If we're going to run the football, it's just going to be with our running backs, or we're going to do some jet sweeps or whatever.
Right.
If you don't want your quarterback to get hit, I'm still not taking him out. I think it's just time to just let Van Buren run it until otherwise known. Like, I think a lot of times it disrupts the rhythm of an offense when you're changing out quarterbacks and things like that.
Agreed.
So I think to me, it just feels just to be a little more simple with what you're doing and just let the continuity grow between Michael Van Buren and the rest of his offense.
Yeah, I think if you want to run some zone read and run some of that, then just go to Kevin Coleman and let him do some Wildcat, and go from there. I Michael Van Buren needs to be your quarterback, because again, it's the same thing State was doing a year ago with Mike Wright, and it was successful once or twice, and then everybody started figuring out what was happening there. There's no point in going on like that, so we'll see what happens. On the other side of the ball, obviously this is where my concerns are. I have concerns about the offense. I don't expect them to score a lot of points in this game, but I feel like they'll at least look competent out there. You'll look at this game and go, well, they're playing an elite defense. They got a true freshman quarterback. This is about what you expect. Defensively, every week it's just like, what the heck is going on out there? It's like a fire drill sometimes. They did get a couple of key guys back from the injury report. We may see a couple of guys make their first appearance. Calvin Dinkins, I don't know what to do there, man. I just – there's no way if I see anyone say in the offseason that State didn't get a defensive tackle because they want to rely on Calvin Dinkins, I'm going to lose my mind, because you cannot rely on Calvin Dinkins at this point. Hopefully everybody understands that at this point.
And if there is – any validity to what people are saying, which I have nothing to go on that would suggest that it's true, but that Mississippi State's just like trying to redshirt him, I just don't see that being the case. Like if that's the plan, it's a bad plan.
I agree.
Because your defense needs every breathing body that it can possibly get on the line right now. This guy's quite literally your most talented defensive tackle.
Yeah. There's seven games left to play, Robbie. This is not the time to be thinking about that.
No, I don't.
Shutting him down with like five games or four games left to play, you'll get the medical red shirt, but this is not the time.
I don't think that that's the case.
I don't either.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but I just don't believe that Mississippi State, who is completely depleted on the defensive line, is going to medical redshirt a guy that's already been hurt many times in his first few years to rely on him next year. I don't think that that's the case. I refuse to believe that until we get some kind of word that that's actually happening.
That might be something we need to – I mean, I don't know how much Lebby's willing to tell us, but it's like, is Dinkin still in the plans for this season? I don't know how to phrase the question to try to get an answer, but Lebby is the master of coach speak, so I don't know if we would get an answer one way or the other. The thing that strikes me about this Georgia offense is what I mentioned just a few minutes ago. They haven't run the ball as effectively as you might think a Georgia football team would. They're only averaging 131 yards per game on the ground. ETN, Branson Robinson have not been as great, as you might think. ETN had a good game last week, but he's averaging just under 6 yards per carry, but he's only had 52 carries this year. Branson Robinson, injuries have just taken him out of the equation. This guy was a stud coming out of high school here in Mississippi, and now he's only had 22 carries this year, and he's averaging less than 4 yards per carry. Mississippi State's defense is kind of a cure for what ails a rushing offense is what worries me. And I know Georgia has the talent and their offensive line. We talked to Jordan Hill yesterday. They've had to move some pieces around there due to some injuries, but they're still a very good physical unit up front. that's where this game is kind of won or lost for me. Is if State can't stop the Georgia running game, that's going to make for a very long day for the maroon and white Bulldogs.
Yeah, it's got to be nice to be missing your, you know, All-American caliber lineman. Yeah. And you're still just absolutely loaded up front. I mean, it's going to be a very physical group, like it always is and always has been, it feels like.
Yeah.
They're still going to be able to run the football. And then they have an extremely accurate passer and some great skill players. It's just going to be tough for this team to get off the field. You're going to have to do just like what you did against Texas. You got to have some good luck, some turnovers, pop the ball out. It's the game plan that I've had for this defense since the summer. Like, can you just find some miraculous way to get off the field a few times in the game? You know, can you force a big turnover here and there? Can you get inside the red zone and force a field goal more times than not? I think they forced Texas off the field like five times in that ball game, which that's fine. In a game like this, if you can get Georgia off the field five times, can you get them to punt three or four times? Can you force a couple of turnovers? And then maybe in two other possessions, you're forcing field goals or something. That's the way to make this a game that is fairly competitive, and it's not the 34-point spread that is expected. Yeah.
If State did defensively what you just described and still lost, I would come on the show Monday and tell you that the offense lost the game.
Offense is the problem.
Offense was the problem in that game. I mean, you know, say what you want about the Arizona State game. That's what you just described. They gave up 30 points. They forced some field goals. There was a defensive touchdown in there, so it doesn't count against them. The problem was that you couldn't do anything offensively. And it could look, there's a chance that you could have exactly that. State's offense this year has not been great. It's just the defense has been so bad, we've focused on it. And maybe it should be the other way around because, gosh dog, we spent the whole offseason telling people, yeah, defensively they're going to be terrible. Don't worry, the offense will pick it up and pick up the slack, and that has not happened. That's why, you know, a lot of people want to blame Hutzler, and look, Hutzler has his fair share of blame. The guy has not been great this year, no question about that, but Lebby has some blame in this, too. Never mind that he hired Hutzler. His offense has not been as good on day one as I think most everybody hoped it would be.
And I think what that tells you, though, is, like, it's really tough to turn over a roster in one year and be super efficient, successful, whatever. You know, and maybe that's just, you know, maybe a lot of us were just naive that this offense was going to just turn it on like that. It's tough, man. You took over an offense that has no returning starters. You brought in several of these transfer portal guys. You're implementing a new offense from a totally different style. And I've seen – one thing I'll say is I think we've seen enough that we know in time this offense is going to be good. We know that the scheme is there. We know that the big play possibilities are there. It's not a Joe Moorhead situation where you're like, we're not seeing what we saw at Penn State. We're not seeing the same scheme. We're not seeing the same possibilities. You're seeing some of these plays develop, and you're seeing some of the big plays, and you're seeing some games where they're scoring points. It just hasn't been as efficient as you'd like. And I think that just kind of shows you where they, you know, what they have to do in the coming months to make it what they want. But yeah, that it's definitely been an issue for them. And it's not entirely Jeff Lebby's fault or anything like that. I think it just shows you that the pieces aren't there yet. And it's a lot tougher to make that kind of change in one year. But we knew the defense was going to stink. I mean, we knew this was going to be bad for Mississippi State. They were going to have to average like 35 a game for this to be an ultra successful year in year one. And that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about our playmakers and our predictions. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by the good folks over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. But if you're not cooking out, you want to head out and grab, let somebody else do the cooking for you. Man, there are so many great steakhouses here across the state. If you want a steak this weekend, somebody will cook you one. I promise you that. But I say fire up the grill. The weather's going to be fantastic this weekend. It's still grilling season. You know, football is grilling season. So fire them up. Steaks, burgers, or go big. Briskets, tri-tips, chuck roast, whatever it is. And we are getting closer and closer. That little crisp in the air to soup season, that's where beef really, really shines with chilies, with taco soup, beef stew. It's all right there. You know you want to eat that. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And I know that you are, in fact, looking for it. So, when you're in Starkville, a trip to the Cotton District is a must. Grab something from Two Brothers or from our new favorite restaurant, The Older Brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. I haven't been to The Older Brother in a few weeks. That means I'm due for a trip to The Older Brother. So I hopefully will be there very, very soon. If you're going to be enjoying a trip to Starkville soon, head to the Cotton District and check out Two Brothers Smoked Meats or The Older Brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 50 years. 50.
50.
50. When you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service after the sale, you just call the same number. It's not a 1-800 number. It's not on hold for 45 minutes. It's not, all right, we'll get somebody out there a week, 10 days, and get you taken care of. If something at your business broke right now, could you really wait a week to 10 days for them to fix it? Absolutely not. You need it fixed quickly. That's what you get with Advantage Business Systems. They're in Mississippi just like you, so they can fix your problems a lot of times the same day. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before you go to the games this fall, make sure you are at Maroon & Co. If you are in Starkville and you need a new MSU polo, if you need to grab a hat, if you want to go ahead and get a gift for the MSU fan in your life, Maroon & Co. is the place to do it. They've got the best selection, stuff you cannot find anywhere else. They are the exclusive provider for the Bulldog Initiative. They have the custom cowbells from the Bellsmith. I would suggest, I can't imagine you got a whole lot of time left if you want to get something done for the holidays there. You need to get in touch with them at Maroon & Co. And, of course, you can use our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply where you go to the games this fall. Head over to Maroon & Co. Robbie, who is your offensive playmaker for Mississippi State versus Georgia?
Sorry, I got really distracted. There is a recipe for Mississippi Little Smokies. They're the, you know, the little,
I know what Little Smokies are.
Cocktail sausages.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically a Mississippi pot roast, but instead it's the cocktail sausages instead of the pot roast.
Robbie, you had my curiosity, but now you have my attention.
That might have to make it to the Christmas party.
Send me that recipe. Send it to me. Send me a DM there.
I will.
All right. Who's your offensive playmaker then?
Offensive playmaker? I think I'm going to go with Johnny Daniels. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times we've mentioned him this year as like,
I don't think
at all. Yeah. Have we talked about him at all as a playmaker? This guy has just been steady from the start. Every time he's gotten an opportunity, he's made the most of it. I think finally we're at the point where he's pretty much State's guy in the running back room. We've seen Devon Booth. We've seen enough of him. I don't think it's going to work the same way with Booth. With Daniels, he's getting yards after contact. He just appears to be Mississippi State's guy. He's doing all little things. I think for Mississippi State to have an effective game plan in this game, Johnny Daniels has got to be a 20 attempt guy mm-hmm. in this ball game. He's got to get you 90 to 100 yards rushing for you to stay in this game. And I feel like there's not going to be a ton of holes for him to run through. He's going to have to get some hard yards. Hopefully he can stay healthy because he's probably going to take some licks in this game. But he is my offensive playmaker. For State to have an effective game plan this week, Johnny Daniels has got to have a really good game.
I agree with that for sure. You know, it would be nice to see somebody get 20 carries and then be around 100 yards. That would go a long way for Mississippi State. I think when you're looking for upsets, you got to have big plays. I think State's biggest, best big playmaker is Kevin Coleman, so I'll go with him. We said in the preseason that this offense, there's always one receiver that kind of stands up above everybody else. Coleman has definitely been that guy. He's on pace to have a – I mean, even despite the problems State has had, he's on pace to have a really good season. And you know, hasn't really done anything in the return game since that week one disaster class from Eastern Kentucky and how to punt the football. But we'll see if he can't break loose this week. I think Kevin Coleman, though, for State needs to have a drive that doesn't take long. They need to have a drive where they score in 2-3 plays. Their best opportunity to do that is to get the ball into Kevin Coleman's hands. I am still abstaining from defensive playmakers. I'm not going. You got one, you feel free. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I think I stand in solidarity with you.
All right.
If there was one, I would say it's probably Isaac Smith, and that's probably going to be the guy for the rest of the year. As long as he's healthy, it's probably going to be Isaac Smith.
I don't know what the MSU – I think Reggie Stewart had 179 tackles one season as an inside linebacker. Isaac Smith may challenge that. If he hadn't missed this last game, he definitely would.
But he is still – I think he is still leading the country in tackles, and he missed a game, and he had a bye week.
That is both – incredible and disgusting.
Yes.
All right, who's your X factor?
Well, I feel like I'm kind of breaking the seal here because we weren't going to do defensive guys, but I feel like it's got to be a defensive guy making a big play in this game. I'm going Zachary Tillman. He has been one of the few guys on defense that's been like a bright spot that's shown some flash. And we saw some good things against Texas. He got a little banged up in that game. We saw the availability report, nowhere to be found on it. He appears to be good to go for Saturday, so it doesn't look to be any issues with him from an injury standpoint. He's been really impressive when given the opportunity, and he's gotten more and more as time's going on. He's going to have to make a big play in this, get a big strip sack on Carson Beck or a tackle in the backfield on third down and short or something. Mm-hmm. That's going to be my X factor in this game. If State wants to be able to get off the field some, I think guys like Zachary Tillman are going to be the key for them.
I'm going to cheat a little, but I'm going to pick five X factors. State's offensive line. Because I don't have any expectations of them. I just expect Georgia to be able to kind of get what they want defensively. For State to have a chance, those guys have got to play well. And, you know, an X factor to me, the whole point of it is, like, I'm picking somebody kind of off the radar. Man, they're off the radar right now because they have not played well this season. Those five guys have got to find a way to keep the pocket a little bit cleaner for Michael Van Buren and open up some holes for Daniels and Booth and those guys in the running game. So that'll be my X factor. If State's offensive line has a good game, then State can maybe hang around in this one for a little while. But if they don't, they got no chance. What's your prediction?
I think this is going to be worse than the Texas game. I just think that it's a really bad matchup for Mississippi State from a style of play standpoint, what Georgia likes to do on both sides of the ball, the physicality that they have. This team, the State team, just doesn't have the physicality to match it. And I believe me, I hope I'm wrong, but I just think that this team is going to be a little more locked in than what Texas was. Mm-hmm. They're just about at full strength and what they got, and they cannot afford to have a slip up. They saw what happened with Alabama and Tennessee last week. They can't afford to have it. I think Georgia's going to be on the cusp of covering in this. Let's say Georgia 48, Mississippi State 10.
That would be a cover. That would be a cover. I'm with you. I'm with you. And I, like I said earlier, I think Georgia realizes they have the biggest game of the season next week, and they're going to want to really fine tune everything. And I would be willing to bet this is one of those weeks where Kirby Smart was a little rough on them in practice. It was like we you know, just telling them, probably giving them all the cliches about reading their press clippings and whatever. So I think they're really going to take it out on Mississippi State. So you're basically in the same. I was going to go 48-14, something like that. So I mean, I guess that's not a cover, right? So it's 34 and
State
a half.
State covers.
State would cover by the skin of their teeth there, but you know, that's probably like a late touchdown kind of deal, sort of what you had last week or two.
State's just got you have to survive this stretch.
Just survive this game. And then next week, we can actually talk about games State might have a chance to win. Just that simple.
Stay healthy. Keep a good mindset. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens.
All right. Post-game show will be happening live on YouTube after this one finishes up. It's going to be a quick one. I want to get back to Oregon, Ohio State, and Ole Miss, LSU. We're going to go quick. Be prepared for that. Robbie, you got anything post-game happening Saturday?
No, because I'll be at that Ducks Unlimited banquet.
Oh, that's right. All right.
But Sunday I'll probably have a reaction.
Okay, sounds good. And we'll have Thunder and Lightning up Sunday. Just go ahead and prepare your Robbie. It's going to be late Sunday. We can't record until late on Sunday. Just going to tell
Dang
you.
Dang it.
Can't perform. I got to go to the coast this weekend. Which reminds me to tell everyone, if you're going to be on the coast this weekend, if you're down there, I will be at Boomtown Biloxi on Saturday for Saints Buccaneers. Again, the $20 all-you-can-eat and all-you-can-drink buffet is happening. Wings, sliders, hot dogs. They've got some desserts out. And, of course, canned beer, canned seltzers, $20 all-you-can-drink. And we will be watching the Saints as they take on the Buccaneers. We had some giveaways last time. I'm not aware if there are any giveaways this time around. But, hey, come by, say hello at Boomtown Biloxi. I will be there on Sunday.
Guys, Saints fans are going to need all the alcohol they can get on Sunday.
I don't like you right now.
I'm just saying.
Are you just saying?
You know what? I stayed up until nearly 1 a.m. watching my team lose to Dak Prescott.
Beat the Cowboys, if I remember correctly. I think that happened.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I suffered through this as well. I suffered through some serious issues this past week as Dak Prescott drove right down the field on my favorite team's defense and scored with 20 seconds left at 1 a.m. So, wasn't fun.
There you go. All right. Guys, have a great weekend, except for Chili Nelson. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.